Well, back to our top story now, the coronavirus. South Korea is one of the countries that was hit earliest and hardest, but it's also one of the countries that has been praised for how it's handled the virus. There are nearly 8,000 cases there today, but fewer than 100 deaths to date. For more, we're joined by NPR correspondent Anthony Kuhn in Seoul. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Jeremy.
So South Korea has the fourth most cases in the world, but it has very few deaths relatively. How has it kept those numbers so low?
There are a bunch of factors. You know, testing people is key to South Korea's strategy, and there's a lot more to it than just the fact that it's free in South Korea to everyone and that, you know, test kits are in relatively good supply. It requires a lot more. It requires a lot of lab technicians, supplies, logistics to collect samples and analyze them and get results. And South Korea didn't do so well in previous epidemics, but this time they were better prepared. And because of those previous epidemics, they learned lessons and they reformed their system. And another factor is innovation. You may have heard about these drive-through testing centers. I visited one of them this week, and that allows the doctors to test twice as many people, I was told. And it's much safer both for doctors and patients because everyone's in a car. And so these are people that do not have to go to a hospital and risk getting other people infected. And this is how they've been able to get the new cases to continue to decline over the past 2 weeks.
Well, and to give people a sense of the numbers, nearly 20,000 people are being tested for the coronavirus every day in South Korea. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say fewer than 9,000 have been tested total. So as you say, just having these mobile sites, having the ability to test so many people, having the technicians to deal with the labs, that's how South Korea has managed to test so widely so quickly.
That's right. And if you lose control, if you're unable to track who has infected whom and you're unable to get to these people and quarantine them before they infect other people, that's when you have to start locking places down. And they have not had to do that.
There's also this live map, Anthony, that South Korea has. It's been using to track coronavirus patients. It tracks people anonymously to help others avoid them. Has that worked? Has there been any blowback?
Well, there is definitely a discussion about privacy concerns. What's going on is that they have epidemiological investigators whose job it is to trace the transmission of the virus. And those people have access to credit card records and phone GPS data so they can track who went where when. And local governments may post that data without people's names to tell other people, look out for these places, don't go there. Now, also, when a suspected case or a confirmed case is quarantined, there are government caseworkers who contact them by phone several times a day. They also have an app they can use to check in, but that doesn't mean that the government is sort of like spying on them via the app. But there is concern about privacy in regards to these issues.
Anthony, you have a unique perspective because before your current post in South Korea, you spent many years reporting from China to very different kinds of governments. What's your sense of how each of these countries are handling this crisis and whether the United States can learn from what either China or South Korea are doing?
Well, you know, when people talk about this here in South Korea, they say, look, we're not China. We're also not North Korea. North Korea limits the freedom of movement, and so we should not do this. At the same time, everyone is aware that, you know, they have to do what they have to do to stop the disease. And experts say, you know, if they lose control, then yes, they may have to impose limits on domestic travel. In a way, the South Korean government has put itself in a difficult position because they did not ban travelers from all of China. They only banned them from Wuhan and the province around it, Hubei, where the virus originated. So now, if they announce a domestic travel ban, people would say, hey, look, you are favoring Chinese visitors over your own people. But I think the main thing is, yes, the South Korean government has released a lot of information, statistics very quickly. They have not had the same problems as China in terms of suppressing dissent. But the government says they have all options on the table, and if they have to, they will impose some restrictions on movement domestically. So far, they have not had to do that, and that's thankful.
By the way, you mentioned North Korea. Do we know anything about what's going on with coronavirus in North Korea?
Well, there have been a lot of unconfirmed and difficult to confirm reports that there are cases in North Korea, but the government there continues to say they don't have any cases. They say they have quarantined people and are looking at suspected cases, but they continue to say they don't have any cases. And that is being seen with quite a bit of skepticism by people who know the basic facts that a lot of people are malnourished and the health system is lacking in very basic things like running water and electricity.
That is NPR correspondent Anthony Kuhn in Seoul, South Korea. Anthony, thank you.
You're welcome, Jeremy.